All right, so if you're here visiting with us for the first time, sorry, get that out of the way. You know, we're going through the series in Jonah. So, and if you know me, I tend to sometimes just jump right back in. But I like to review a little bit. And at the beginning, yeah, Seth, you can just leave that one slide up there for a little bit. The very first, how many of you were here for the first sermon on Jonah? Okay, so a lot of you were, some of you weren't. So the first sermon, we talked about how Jonah fled. You know the story of Jonah. If you don't know the story of Jonah, Jonah was running from God. And we tied the question that God asked Jonah, or that God asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, where are you? I tied that to that story, that line there, and that God is consistently pursuing us. He's consistently going after us, and he's consistently asking the question of us, where are you? Last week we talked about that salvation belongs to the Lord, and in the first sermon I tried to use a peach, and so I come up with this. And did I fix it, Chris? Where's Chris at? Did I fix this slide? Because last time he was giving me a hard time about it. Where's Chris at? Is it okay, Chris? Or does it still need critiquing? All right, I tried to fix this slide, and we talked a lot about that. How as we're born into this world, this whole area is in control of Satan. We were born sinners. And the flesh and the sin nature war against the spirit, and the battlefield is right here within the soul. And we talked a lot about that last week, and I'm not going to go back to that too much, because I said the next time we speak from the book of Jonah, we are going to be right here focusing on these little flags, or what we call strongholds. And actually, before Satan can build a stronghold in our life, we first have to let Satan have ground. Because when Jesus died on that cross right there, well, not on that particular cross, but when he died on the cross, he paid the price and bought all of this in our life. When you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he bought and paid for this price, paid for this right here. You remember we split the veil? This whole area Jesus died for. That's what he's after. Remember? That's what he died for, and that's what he's after. However, as we'll see here in the life of Jonah, it wasn't too well with his soul. We sang the song this morning, "It is well with my soul." So oftentimes in our life, we live life as followers of Jesus, and our soul is not quite right. It's not quite all right, and it's not all well with him. And we lock these areas off in our life, and Satan begins brick after brick, block after block, layer after layer, building a stronghold that will come and attack us. And out of that stronghold, he attacks and torments our life. So, that's where we're at this morning. And I like to go to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, or chapter 3 and 4, and I didn't put the scriptures up there because there's a lot of verses, but I'm going to read them to you. And in this story, chapter 3 and chapter 4, I'd like you just to listen and see if you see how Jonah's soul was not well with the Lord. Now, Jonah was obeying God. You know, he ran from God in chapter 1. The storm came. They threw him overboard, and God's love provided a fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, which we talked about last week. He cries out to God after day 3. He's been in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and he cries out to God, and he recognizes that the moment he recognizes that salvation belongs to the Lord, that there's nothing in and of himself that he can do, God orders the fish to spit him out on the dry land. That brings us to chapter 3. And I don't know the time frame. Is it immediately right after he got spit out of the fish? But in Jonah chapter 3, God gives us this picture, and it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time." Was it that months, years, weeks? I don't know. But it says, "The Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, 'Get up and go to the city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given to you.' This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed.' The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow." In other words, they would put on sackcloth and ashes. They would put things over their like they would change the way they dressed and do things to show a sign of mourning. When the king of Nineveh heard this, what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes, and he dressed himself in burlap and sat in a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent a decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animal from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning. I don't know what that looked like for animals, but I don't know what that looked like there, but just think about that. And everyone must pray earnestly to God. This is a decree. We often see this in our own country. President of the United States will declare a day of prayer, or let's pray and cry out to God. I remember after 9/11, many churches were filled with people turning back to God, right? We hear that cry. Everyone must pray to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. If I didn't mention it before, the city of Nineveh was a very popular city in this time. It was controlled by the Assyrians. And matter of fact, today, there's still a city called Nineveh. It's over in Mosul, on Iraq area. That's where it's at. And it's a very violent city in Nineveh's day. And it's amazing to me that the strongholds that were in Nineveh's life right here, then and there, are still playing out today over there in Iraq. War is going on left and right. They're very strongholds. And they don't go just from that time. They go back even much further. We can talk about that later, that strongholds cannot just be something that we give to Satan, but it can be hereditary. It can be passed on down third and fourth generations. God says that. And if we hate God and do not keep His commandments, they get passed on. Anyways, the king goes on and he said, "Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change His mind and hold back His fierce anger from destroying us." This was the king's heart when he heard the cry from Jonah. When God saw that they had, what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, He changed His mind. This translation here uses "change His mind." It did not carry out the destruction that He had threatened. And this is where it gets very sad. Because as followers of Jesus, we want to obey and we do things that God tells us to do in His Word. And we are all about that. And I'll share this in a little bit, a personal illustration from my own life. But it's not always well with our soul. I love that song. I told my wife when I die, she's still living, I want that song played at my funeral. It's well with my soul. She's looking at me like, I don't remember that. That was years ago. This changed the plans greatly. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. "Did not I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" I'm going to stop right there for a moment. And what do you hear in that phrase? When you hear Jonah talking, this is before he ran the first time and fled from God's presence. His heart was not well with the Lord. You see, Jonah had strongholds in his life just like you and I do. Anger is not a stronghold. Anger is an emotion. It's actually okay to be angry. God says, "Be angry and sin not." There's nothing wrong with being angry unless you don't deal with that anger and that emotion and you go to bed at night. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Be angry and do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. For if you so do, you will give place to the devil." See, as followers of Jesus, it's okay to be angry. If we don't deal with that anger, then we give place to the devil. These little things called stronghold. Well, ground. Let me go back. Now, let's look at the word ground for just a minute. And I'm going to grab my other notes here because that's not part of my all my words here. The soul resides our mind, will, and emotions. And in Hebrews 4:12, we talk about that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts apart the innermost parts, dividing the soul and the spirit. That's these two areas right here. It divides that, discerns between the two of them. Ground is a jurisdictional area. This little, Seth, can you put the next slide up, please? Imagine this section right here having a little checker box. Or even play chess or Chinese checkers? Who likes chess? Yeah. Let's picture something for a moment, and let me ask you this question. Would you sit down next to Satan? If you saw Satan today, would you say, I want to go sit next to him? Would you? Be honest, would you want to sit next to Satan? No. And yet we do. Satan is a deceiver. He doesn't look anything like evil, what we picture. And he comes into our life with things that take a section or a block, or what I would call ground, that we give to Satan, and he sets up a principality. Now, a principality is a ruler or someone who is evil, a ruler of evil over a jurisdictional area of your life. So that the ground is that jurisdiction area that he takes. We give it up. It's not something that he can just come in, because Jesus bought for all and paid for all that. We have to literally give it to him. And then he takes lies, over and over lies. And he begins to build a tremendous amount of stronghold, a fortress in your life and in my life. And out of that fortress and stronghold, usually these strongholds here come from pain and hurt. And let me use myself as an illustration. I was 11 years old, and I begged my dad over and over and over and over again. I might have shared this before, but if you heard it before, I'm going to share it again. You're going to hear it again. I begged him over and over and over again to let me play Little League Baseball. All the little guys in the neighborhood and girls in the neighborhood were playing. My dad would come and say, son, that's not something we do. We don't do that. And I know we don't do those kind of things. But I use scripture. God, Dad, I want to tell these people about Jesus. Be honest, sometimes we do things like that to get our way. We need to manipulate things. And anyway, so he finally relented and let me play Little League Baseball. At 11 years old, I'd never played a game of baseball before, but I learned it. And I don't know where this came from, and I'm still trying to. Willis, maybe you can help me with this, and some of the caring for the heart stuff. He's helped me and Julie tremendously with being able to see things inside our heart that we can't get to the core. Because this is this area right here, the stronghold, you can deal with all these things on the outside, as I get to in a minute, and not deal with the stronghold, and they come back over and over and over again. You'll see that here in my own story. So at 11 years old, the first year I played, I made the all-star team. I thought I was the best. I was named the captain of the team. I had never played ball before, but 12 years old, I got the next year. That year, I struck out over 100 batters in Little League and hit 30 home runs. I was prideful as could be. The coaches in the next level, you know, you think I was a professional baseball player making millions of dollars playing Little League ball. Satan uses that. The coaches in the next league up were fighting over me, and I knew this. Got to the next league, 15, 16 years old, and the Wilmington Blue Rocks came into up here to Wilmington, Delaware. As you know, that was about the time they were building the stadium, and they were holding open tryouts, and three or four of us guys from the league, we were all determined we were going to go try out. Three of them did, and I didn't. And this is where I want to share with you. I'm sharing something with you guys here. So I went to my dad and I said, a couple of the boys were told him, I said, I want to try out for this baseball team. And my dad said, no, son, can't do that. So why not? He says, because they play ball on Sundays. And God's word says to honor the Lord your God, put him first, and Sunday's a day of rest. That crushed my spirit. And at that moment, well, I didn't know this principle really well. I didn't know about all this, but I gave ground to Satan. I gave over a piece of my heart to Satan. And for 16 years, I never picked up another baseball. After that season was done, I never picked up another baseball, never played another competitive game of baseball. I would play softball games, pick up here and there, but never played competitively. And it was a passion of mine. And that 16 years, God, Satan took that pain and that hurt in my life, and he began laying brick after brick of falsehoods and lies in my life that went contrary to God's word. Let me just give you a little picture of that. You see, we, for 2 Corinthians, I don't have all these things memorized. I wish I would. It'd be so easy and I wouldn't have to break up my thought here. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says this. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle and keep people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you've become fully obedient, you will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Talking about the worldly things in life that we grab onto, that Satan tells us, the lies, the human thinking. And Satan built those walls one after another in my life. Lust, fear, anger, envy, anxiety, worry. You can name them all. You can just keep right on going. Those tormentors, those things that... And God was allowing these things. You know, God had paid the price. I was a follower of Jesus. As a little boy, I put my faith and trust in Jesus as a little boy. And I believed that I was going to be with him one day. And I had given him this area of my life because of a pain and hurt. Now, strongholds don't always come from pains and hurts. Well, 16 years, fast forward till I was 32 years old, I get a phone call from a man who played ball, and they wanted to know if I would play competitive ball with them. Some of you guys know I played with Harmony, and they called me, and I won't forget the words I told my wife when I got off the phone with him. I'll never forget them, and I hope I don't, because 16 years later, that stronghold that I had allowed, the ground that I had allowed given to Satan, Satan used that stronghold he had built to attack me in a way that I had no idea was coming. I hang up the phone and I turn to my wife and I said, boy, I must be something. I haven't picked up a ball and played competitive ball in 16 years and here these guys call me. And it was the words that he used. We heard you, we knew you were a good ball player. That's what he used. Now, I'm not a good ball player. My goodness, there's so many ball players in here that are way better than I am. Satan used that. And for the next 3 years, I played over 200 ball games. And I put my family through a tremendous amount of pain. My wife. And Satan, out of that stronghold, from the hurt from my past that I didn't deal with, attacked in many of these areas. In church, there's a lot of us sitting here today. There's not one. Now, let me put it this, not a lot. There's not one person in this church who's not had and not have given up ground to Satan. And how do I know that? Because we're no different than Jonah. Remember, whenever you read this passage of the Bible, you have a character in the Bible like Jonah, Abraham, Moses. You read it. God's telling you what went on in their life. And then there's the picture of God and His character and who He is. And then there's us. And what does God want us to learn from it? I share that story with you not as a way to bring attention to myself, but to share that there's hope and that God has given us a way. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not something that are man-made. These are powerful weapons. They're given to us in this book called the Bible. Remember, I said this section right here is built on lies. This stronghold is built layer after layer after layer of lies. Satan will use this, and he'll even use this book, the Bible, to get at you with lies. He did it with Jesus 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. What did he use? He tried to use the Word of God and twist it to get Jesus to fall into temptation. And he will twist it. I was 34, 35 years old, and I had a cat. We had a cat. Oh, I hate cats. Sorry if you're a cat lover. And I was asked to preach. And God was working on me, and I drove, some of you in Creation in Christ class may have heard this story, and I drove past the neighbor's house because one of his employees that worked for him came to me and said, hey, I think we found your cat. Described it, and I knew it was our cat. He said, it's over here at the neighbor's barn, and we're taking care of it. Can you come get it? And I said, no, it's not our cat. It can't be our cat. It's not funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. I drove past this neighbor's house, and the Lord said, you need to go over there and make it right with him. But Lord, he don't know anything about the story. He didn't know his employee told me about this cat. Yes, go over and make it right. Spun around, drove in there, and knocked on his door. Said, hey, I got something to ask your forgiveness for. So, you know this cat that you're taking care of? He's like, huh? It's like, yeah, you're taking care of a cat. Or you took care of a cat years ago. And because this was years later. He said, no, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, I need to ask for your forgiveness because one of your employees came to me and I know it was our cat. I know for a reason you found it. It was in the neighborhood. God wanted me to ask for forgiveness of that. You know, with tears in his eyes, he said, you know, you reminded me of something I need to go to make right with someone else. I don't know, God used that for him or for me, but it was for me. I took it that way, and I went back home at night. If I didn't do that, church, if I didn't heed to the prompting of the Holy Spirit is so kind, he's so loving, and he will convict you of things in your life, of strongholds, and he wants to make sure, he wants to help us tear down them things. Satan tried to use a passage of Scripture to keep me from going to talk to that man, just like he tried to trick Jesus. Psalms 51 says, against thee, O Lord, anybody knows it? Against thee, O Lord, and only thee have I done this evil in thy sight. And what does Satan say? You don't have to go talk to that man. You don't have to go make it right. It's only against me, only against God that you sinned. And he will use Scripture to try to twist it. He will use that. Now, how do you know you have strongholds in your life? How will you know this? Someone once wrote that about a stronghold is that it has a recurring pattern. It keeps coming up over and over and over again. We attack this area right here and we figure out, man, I got rid of pornography. If you're a man and you struggle with pornography and you say, I got rid of it. Yep, I put that off to the side. I'm no longer lusting, no longer in pornography. And then all of a sudden you fall back into it. Or you're afraid or fearful, some fear in your life, or maybe anger just comes welling up within you. Notice these are emotions outside of this. And when we give into these areas outside, those tormentors, it affects our decision-making and our will, our choices that we make in life. And out of that, So we deal with these things on the outside here, never getting to the center or the core of why that is. And sometimes you might not even know that. Willis and Teresa, through the caring through the heart, have helped me seeing things like, oh, I didn't know that was the stronghold. But God has given us in His Word promises. And this is what I want to focus in on today. The way we tear down these promises or tear down these strongholds is with God's promises to us. Now, we sing songs that, God, we trust You. Your ways are higher than our own. We trust You. We trust in God, and we say that. And this morning it struck me in the if you're not going to Sunday school class, you're missing a great passage or a great Sunday school class in the Holy Spirit. The very first thing in the very first lesson they said is trust God, trust Jesus, and trust the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is our greatest friend, and I'm not sure how many weeks, but Lynn will be talking about the Holy Spirit. I think that's the third one in your series, right? We have to learn to trust, and trust in the promises that are in this book, because those are the things that tear down the lies of Satan. These are the things that God has given to us. So how do we tear down these strongholds? Well, first, we must acknowledge, like I did in the story of Jonah, we don't see that. Before we get to those steps, let me read to you what happens with Jonah. We don't know what happens at the end. We hear the end of the story that God gives us, but we do not know what happened to Jonah. I don't know if Jonah's confessed his sin to God or turned back to God. I don't know that. I can't give you that answer, and it's not my place to know. It's only God's place to know that. But he says this, that Jonah went to after the question, the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under and wait to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. It gives you a picture of this man's heart. He was bitter and angry at his enemy. He was waiting. He wanted to see his enemy destroyed. The Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. In Matthew 18, we have the story of the servant, the man who owed the king, or the king money. And the king demanded to pay it, and he says, "I can't pay it." The king said, "You're forgiven your debt." And what did he do? He didn't learn from his lesson. He goes out to the next man. The guy's owed him a little bit of money and demanded to get it. And when he couldn't give it, he threw him into prison. God brought us worm here, just as God allows these tormentors to come after us. God allows Satan to do this in our life. He allows it because He loves us, and He wants us to deal with those things. So He allowed it, arranged for a worm, and the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it would wither away, and the sun grew hot, and God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than living like this," he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because of the plant died? Now, "Is it right for you to be angry that the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you didn't do nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness." What was God after? Again, the heart, the soul and heart of mankind, living in spiritual darkness. Jonah didn't, after that, it just says, "Shouldn't I feel sorry for this great city?" And that's the end of the story. We don't know what happened to Jonah. We don't know if Jonah repented. We don't know if Jonah allowed God to restore the ground that he had given to Satan. We don't know. But God puts this in His Word for us to give us a picture that we can ask God to take back this area that we gave to Satan, whatever it is. And then He gives us truths, the promises of God's Word, that we can tear down those walls, those layers, piece after piece. Worship team, you can come on up. Sorry. As they're coming, I don't know what God spoke to you this morning, but the first thing we need to do in asking God to take back the ground that we gave to Satan in our life, because Satan just doesn't come in and take it. He has no jurisdictional area over that. And, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, it says that, Paul writes that it says that God made an open display in the heavens. In Romans times, the Romans would take their captors and they would parade them through the city streets and make an open display of them. They would mock, they would do mean things to them. And Paul writes this picture that that's what God did to Satan and all his forces the moment Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave. It says he made an open and a public display of him. He bought our soul and our spirit with the blood of Jesus. And when we put our faith and trust in him, the only way that Satan is supposed to or allowed to have control is if we give it to him. This past week, I was sharing with somebody and this picture that God, through His Son Jesus, paid the price so that we can enter the Holy of Holies boldly, come before that throne of mercy and grace, right? We have the ability to do that. And so often, because of sin in our life or because of things in our life, we're afraid to go to that Holy of Holies. We're afraid to enter into that because we're not dealing with the things in our life. And we say, I'm not good enough. I can't get there. Stop thinking that if you're one of those people that don't want to go to that place with God. God paid that price. The entrance fee is gone. It's there. It's done. It's over with. Confess your sin to Jesus. Confess whatever area in your life he might have been given a hold of. And then ask God to restore your soul. The word restore in Psalms 23 means to return to its original state. It's a promise. He restores our soul. Ask God to do that, to restore your soul, and then begin taking the promises that are in His book, this great book that He's given to us, and begin to take down through prayer and the Word and meditating, memorizing, reading over and over again. Begin to preach to your mind the promises that are there. And then the next time Satan wants to try to take ground from you through a hurtful situation or through some other means, begin to extend mercy to the person that hurt you. Forgive them. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. It's not an option, it's a command. In December, when God gave me this passage of Scripture, I had no idea that we would be what we'd be facing as a church. God loves us so much that He preordained that. That the book of Jonah would I be going through myself. My prayer this past week is that we as a church, me as a leader, don't let Satan have any ground.
Just bow your heads for a moment and let's talk to Jesus. If you're sitting there and you're picturing yourself like Jonah, maybe angry about a situation in your life from your past, or maybe even this situation that we find ourselves in, and you're wrestling with it, Jesus stands there at the door of your heart and He says, "Let me come in and take care of that." The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. There's nothing in this world that God can't take. He's already paid for it, the Son's blood. We just confess our sins to Him. The pain, the hurt. Ask Him, "God, please take back this ground. Restore my soul. I don't want to deal with these things anymore." Holy Spirit, we just so welcome You. You're our closest friend. No one in this room can compare to You. Have Your way with us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have Your way with me. As the worship team leads in a song here closing, David, I'm going to just ask for calling an audible right this moment. Okay? If you're battling something and God spoke to you, before we sing a song of worship, I'd just like to let you know this altar is open. Just come and give it to Jesus. Come and ask God to restore your soul in the area that He's talking to you about right now. If you don't feel comfortable coming, I understand. That's okay. This altar is a place where we can come and do business with God. An altar is a sign of surrender, laying down. Sometimes it's hard to get up in front of someone and walk to the front because, my goodness, what are they thinking? It's one of those things that Satan speaks to our hearts and says, torments us with. Don't be afraid of that. It's a lie from the enemy. If we're really honest with ourselves, we all would be at this altar. We all have things in life we deal with. You can stand with us as we sing. So Father, I just thank You. I thank You for Your promises, Lord, that You restore our soul. It's You and You alone, God, that does that. I can't do it. There's not one of us in here, Lord, that I think would want to sit down next to our enemy, Satan, and yet he so easily tricks us. Help us to hold on to your promises and your truth and your word. It speaks so true. Help us to tear down those strongholds with your word day in and day out. Help us to renew our mind with your truth. The promise that you so freely give us, the eternal life. We just confess, turn from our belief in ourself. Put our trust in you. May we trust you, God. May we trust you.